Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house. So, first thing I would like to do is introduce Neil Engel, Pastor Neil Engel. He will be taking Pastor Dennis's place this morning. Pastor Engel is a retired Disciples of Christ minister who actually went through the same seminary with Pastor Dennis. They were a couple years apart, but they went to the same school at the same time. So please welcome Pastor Neil. This Saturday, RevCon Youth Conference, all day. There's several of the adults and youth of the church that are going. I think it'll be a good time. We'll all be exhausted come Sunday morning, so if you see some of us kind of walking around like zombies, it's because we've been at an all-day youth conference the day before. Lenten suppers and meditations will continue. We'll probably be asking some of our elders to help, but we haven't verified anything with Dennis, but we will continue the meditations and the suppers. So please join us. Children's birth Easter party looks a lot different this year. We're going to be having the party during the Sunday school hour in the children's church room. We invite parents and grandparents to join us. We're going to concentrate a lot more on the Easter story this year and a lot less on candy. They still get some, just not as much. Game days have been rescheduled for second Tuesday of the month. We've gone from Friday to Thursday to Tuesday. We'll settle on a day here soon. March 12th is our next one at 2:00. This Sunday and next Sunday are our last Sundays, excuse me, for our Tower of Hope. We've got a lot of stuff over here. It's going to be awesome. Hope House always appreciates this. It's such a good thing to give to these mothers and children who are getting themselves out of abusive situations. So if you haven't donated, please, next week's our last week to do so. Our new adult Sunday school class has a name. So it's not just the new class anymore. It's called JOY, which is an acronym for Jesus, others, and yourself. And new upper rooms are available on the foyer. Please read your bulletin insert regarding this week's week of compassion offering. And elders, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, I didn't mention that, did I? Okay, don't forget our potluck next Sunday, first Sunday of the month. Got to do that potluck thing. And elders, deacons, and chairpersons, please remember that we have a board meeting following the service today. Shouldn't be a very long one. Should be fairly quick. I don't think we have any huge things on our agenda. And also, this year, we really, really want to try and get as many of our kids to church camp as possible. Please, if you have a child, a grandchild, a youth who has any interest in attending church camp, we're going to be sponsoring kids. We're going to be helping with the cost of it. We will be offering some scholarships. Church camp is such a great place to spend some time during the summer. For most of our elementary kids, it's only a one day. They're day trips, so there's no overnighting for your little ones. For the youth, there are overnight sessions, and Tall Oaks is a great place. They have great programs and great leaders. Please talk to me if you have any questions. Call Carol in the office. We would really like to see our kids be able to attend this summer. I believe that's all of our announcements for today. So, Ryan, would you lead us in the call to worship, please?
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship today. As God says to us, listen to me, my people. Listen to what I say.
I give my teachings to the nations. My laws will bring them light.
I will come quickly and save them. The time of my victory is near.
The deliverance I will bring will last forever.
My victory will endure for all time. We'll now sing hymn number 5, all stanzas of O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
O for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. Tis music in the sinner's ears, tis life and health and peace. My loving Savior and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the ye honors of thy name. Glory to God, and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven.
Let us pray. O God of all spiritual journeys, we pray that your wise spirit will guide us as we continue through this season of Lent. Open our minds this morning to understand the lessons that you would have us learn. Open our hearts to share your compassion and acceptance with everyone we encounter, and fill us with courage to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Already discovered that you're a pretty friendly bunch, so you don't need any encouragement to turn and greet each other in the Spirit of Christ.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Well, are we all good? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Today, I want you to go right over here, and each one of you get a piece of wood. These little wood circles. Can you get one of those? Okay. Now hold on to them. Hold on just a minute. Just a minute. Be impatient. Hey, you too. Everybody. That means you guys too. You're part of everybody. Go ahead, Mario. Get yourself one, baby. Good job. Okay. Last week, we put down our foundation, didn't we? And this is because God is our foundation, isn't he? And he's what we build our faith on. Now, today, we're going to take our little wood discs and we're going to lay them down because we're going to make a path. Can you lay them all down over here and make a path? Can you put them together so they make a path? Can you take yours, Mario, and put it over there? Can you, here's yours, baby. Can you put it over there? Right there. You can go, they can go beside, yep. Okay, Roman, put yours down, baby. Good job. Okay, now we have this nice path. What do you suppose, why do you suppose we made a path on our foundation? It is a place to walk. It is a place to walk. It is a place to walk. It represents Jesus is our path. Jesus is the path to salvation. So, God is our foundation.
Jesus is our path to salvation. If we walk with Jesus, we have salvation. Yes, and we learn more about that in Shepherd's Church. So can we have a prayer? Yes. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for these beautiful children. Thank you that we are able to take lessons and learn more about your love and our salvation. We ask that you be with us in spirit as we take the words that we learn into our hearts and into our minds and into our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Thank you. So we have several pastoral prayers today. Jerry Donahue will be having a procedure tomorrow morning at North Kansas City Hospital. He's been dealing with pneumonia, but this is something to help relieve some breathing issues that he's having. We have good news. Luella Scott did not have a stroke. She is currently in Grand Royal, having some rehabilitation done. Val Stringer is dealing with issues from a stroke, some quite severe at this point. The doctors are assessing the concerns and will be dealing with that as far as rehabilitation goes this week. Russell Stewart continues to be a patient at St. Luke's East. This is recovery from colon surgery that he had done. John Adams, Brian Sitzman, Joan Hamilton, Jerry Treese. We have a lot of people who we still need to keep on our prayer list with various concerns as they heal, as they get over various concerns, as they have recovered. We need prayers of thanks for those who have recovered well. Pastor Dennis, poor Dennis. He will be consulting his neurosurgeon on Wednesday, and we just pray that he is able to find some kind of relief. It's just very severe pain and very debilitating at this point. And we love him and we miss him. And please keep Carrie in your prayers as she has to deal with, you know, she says he's a good patient, but yeah, you know, she's still a busy lady, so we need to keep her in prayer as well. Joe and Kathy Weekly, as Joe is having a scheduled procedure tomorrow as well at KU Medical Center. And all of our other church members and family members who we've kept in prayer over the weeks. So please keep these people in prayer.
Basil Hume once wrote, "Our part in prayer is to try to raise our minds and hearts to God, to spend time making the effort. Trying to pray is prayer, and it's very good prayer," he said. "The will to try is also God's gift." Let us go to God now in a spirit of prayer. Most High God, we come before you aware of both our faithfulness and our unfaithfulness. We confess that we've not always been willing to depend on you to supply our need because we want to take the credit ourselves. We confess that we've been slow to love others because we fear the cost. We confess the times we've sought life apart from you, you who are the only source of life. We confess, O God, that we often want to hide our shortcomings and sin rather than to confess what we've done. So we'd ask that you hear our prayer and strengthen us that we may face our own sinfulness. And as we confess our sins to you, we know that you have the power to forgive and to heal our brokenness. Oh God, we pray this morning for those for whom life has become unexpectedly difficult, the victims of war and violence, especially in the Middle East and in Ukraine, the victims of random violence and injustice, and their stunned loved ones. We pray for people who discover that they've contracted a serious illness or whose loved one is dying or who has died. We pray also for once loving relationships that are falling apart. We pray for single parents and parentless children, and the victims of domestic abuse whose cries for help have gone unnoticed by family or friends. We pray this morning for anyone who have just lost their jobs or who have been long unemployed, those who continue on in most stressful work situations, and those who suffer racial or sexual discrimination. Oh God, we pray for the church in its many denominations and with its numerous congregations and its agencies of compassion and assistance. Especially today, we lift up the Week of Compassion and its ministry. Oh God, bless those faithful and active members who are the backbone of each congregation, those lay leaders who carry uneven loads, the elderly members who regret that they can no longer serve the church as they once did, and for the young people who are keen for some responsibility. O God, of all things seen and unseen, please receive our prayers and set them to work for your greater glory. We pray all this in the name of the Jesus whom we seek to serve, the one who taught us these words to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Said that we disciples do a remarkable thing when we gather each week at the Lord's table. He says, in a world that expends a great deal of energy separating people from one another, dividing us into opposing camps, labeling us as red or blue or black or white, what we do each Sunday in celebrating the Lord's Supper is a radical countercultural act of hospitality. The invitation is addressed to all to approach this table, regardless of your church affiliation or non-affiliation, your denomination, wherever you are on your spiritual journey. All means all at Christ's table. All are welcome. Come now and eat of the bread of life and drink from the cup of blessing.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me my friend, if all the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
When Jesus was with his friends in the upper room on the last night of his life, he took some bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat, for this bread is my body. It's broken for you, it's given for you. Take and eat and remember me." And then after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood. Take and drink, all of you, in remembrance of me, the gifts of God for the people of God."
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather at this Holy Communion table. As we gather, we see the emblems that represent your Son Jesus' blood and body as he died upon the cross as the sacrificial lamb for our sins. We ask that you will bless these emblems as we partake of them, and may our prayers and meditations be acceptable to you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
This morning I had the pleasure of visiting the Koinonia Sunday School class, and we were talking about spiritual energy and how do we renew that energy on a regular basis. This is one of the times in our service when we can do just that, to pause and to reflect upon all the blessings that we've been given, and then to reflect on the joy that we have and can receive by sharing our resources with others. Let us now worship God with the receiving of God's tithes and our offerings.
Our Heavenly Father, bless this church and this church family. We always want to be your stewards and do your work here on earth. As we collect our tithes and offerings, know they will further your kingdom. Bless the gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give thanks, O God, for these gifts, large or small, and we thank you for the sacrifice that they represent. We'd ask now that these gifts might be used to further your kingdom, to spread the love of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And Jesus called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I want to thank you for the invitation to share this morning in worship with you. I have known Dennis for almost 50 years, and for almost 40 years, ago, I was a neighbor of yours. I served as associate pastor at Hillside Christian Church at North Oak and Vivian, and when George Warren Campbell was the senior pastor. And I was really pleased when Gail and I visited on the phone about coming today, and she said one of the reasons that she wanted me to come was she'd heard that I was a model preacher. And I was flattered. Then I got off the phone and looked up the definition of model, and it's a small imitation of the real thing. So, no, you didn't say that, don't. The Indiana Jones movies of the late 1980s seem to be on TV. And the third movie is probably my favorite, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. As you, those of you who have seen the movie know, that is about the search that entails for the Holy Grail, the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. The journey ends in kind of a cave or a mountain, guarded by a devoted knight. And after successfully negotiating the entry to the guarded room, Indiana, played by Harrison Ford, and the villain face off, and they face an array of cups and chalices. They've got to decide which cup is the real one. A wrong choice will result in instant death. And the knight cautions them to choose wisely, for as the true grail will bring you life, the false grail will also take it from you. And if you've seen the movie, you recall the greedy villain seeks out the most ornate cup he can find, the one with the most jewels. He's dazzled by its brilliance and grabs it, drinks from it, and in a matter of just moments, he ages and then disintegrates into bones and then dust. And what does the knight say? He chose poorly. Indiana looks over the cups and chooses a plain-looking one. He says, "This is the cup of a simple carpenter. He has indeed found the real cup." Now, there's a story or legend about the search for the real cross of Christ. Finding the true cross was the title of a legend that for over 1,000 years was one of the most beloved stories of piety. Although a legend, the story is about a real historical figure, Helena, the mother of the Emperor Constantine. Constantine, as you remember, was the emperor who, near the beginning of the 4th century, made Christianity the official religion of the empire so that the church was no longer persecuted. His mother, Helena, was in fact a devout Christian, devout enough that by the year 450, there were written accounts of this legend that was to make her a cherished saint of the church. The legend says that as an act of devotion, Helena decided to make a pilgrimage in search of the true cross of Christ, the very cross on which Christ was crucified. She arrived in the Holy Land. She is assisted by the Bishop of Jerusalem, and she unearthed three crosses, supposedly the two on which the thieves were crucified and the true cross of Christ. But she couldn't distinguish one from the other. So with the help of the bishop, she brought one cross to a dying woman who touched it without any change in her condition. Then a second cross, still no change. Finally, the third cross. When the dying woman touched it, she was immediately restored to health. And Helena knew that she had found the true cross of Christ. And she then sent parts of that cross to Constantinople, which her son, the emperor, had established as the new capital of the empire. Now, you know, when you hear that story, you might just be tempted to dismiss it as an antiquated legend. But before we do, we need to remember that this legend sustained generations of believers. So it may be worthy of our consideration, and it may illumine Christ's words to us from the Gospel of Mark. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny yourself and take up your cross? I mean, come on, Jesus, who needs that? I mean, who needs that when it's hard enough just to keep the bills paid and food on the table, when it's hard enough just to get up in the morning and face the challenges of the day? Some of us like to believe that Jesus was talking only to his 12 disciples, and that the rest of us are excused from denying ourselves and lugging crosses around and things like that. Others of us insist that Jesus is the only one called to die on a cross, and that because he did, the rest of us don't have to. What brought on this demand of Jesus? Well, the disciples and Jesus were off by themselves taking a break, and in the passage from Mark just before this text, we're told that Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter makes the good confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Peter's bubble is soon burst when Jesus tells the disciples what's required of himself, that he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and be raised from the dead. Peter explodes. "No way, Lord, no way. This shall never happen to you." In other words, isn't there an easier way to go about this, Jesus? I mean, do you have to be the hero that dies in the end? Why can't we just take a chill pill and wait till the heat's off? Jesus erupts with, "Get behind me, Satan." As far as Jesus was concerned, Peter was the voice of the tempter, trying to seduce Jesus into playing things safe, into skipping the trip to Jerusalem and maybe directing his effort from an undisclosed location, while eluding his enemies and staying out of their reach, leading this holy revolution without placing himself at risk. Peter, the one that Jesus called the rock, now he's become a stumbling block. And Jesus sets Peter and the rest of the disciples straight when he says, "Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me." What cross or crosses do we take up? Sometimes we pick up the wrong ones, the false crosses, the crosses that are not of Christ and that don't bring healing. False crosses leave us in death and brokenness. False crosses are the crosses of death, of hatred, the cross of violence. And we've seen those crosses, haven't we? I mean, the swastika of Hitler, the cross of the Ku Klux Klan, the white supremacist version of the Celtic cross, the hateful anti-gay cross of Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, the cross of those who vilify a religion that's not their own. Those are not the crosses that Jesus asks us to carry. Nor does Jesus ask us to carry the cross of false humility that says, "I must endure injustice because I don't deserve better treatment." The cross of debilitating humility is carried by the woman who remains in a situation of domestic violence because she's been taught that she's of little or no value, no worth, and that she can only be a victim. The cross of false humility tells a person that they have to carry around the guilt and the pain of past mistakes and refuse to accept God's forgiveness. When I was serving at Hillside, there was a man who regularly came into my office looking emotionally and spiritually beaten down. He carried a list of sins, a little spiral notebook that he kept in his shirt pocket, and it had a record of his sins and mistakes for the past week that he refused to let go. It was as if he needed to suffer. The cross of the victim is a cross that says, "I have to suffer abuse because everyone in life has a cross to bear, and this is mine." What crosses do we bear? You remember the words of the song, "If you can't bear the cross, then you can't wear the crown," and the hymn, "Gladly the cross I bear." which, if you believe countless people on the internet, their child was the first to sing as Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. I'll wait. Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. Well, first, let me say that our cross is something that we take up. We don't have it thrust upon us. Arthritis or poor grades, an unhappy marriage, maybe a child with drugs, a parent with Alzheimer's, that doesn't qualify as our cross, even though these and other difficulties are sometimes called the crosses that we have to bear. These and other human hurts aren't crosses as spoken of in this text. Taking up our crosses, bearing our cross, is a way of life which involves denial of self in service to God. We don't seek or pursue an actual cross, but it was and is still true that following Jesus on the path involves meeting human needs. And on that path, there are going to be crosses, prices to be paid, pain and hurt to be accepted. We're not talking about a death wish, but obedience to the reign of God. And for that, we look to the ministry of Jesus, bringing sight to the blind, good news to the poor, setting free those who are oppressed, expanding the circle of God's love to include the marginalized, the outcast, the immigrant, the refugee, the foreigner. Taking up our crosses means giving up those attitudes and behaviors that divert us from our spiritual path. I know what those are for me, and I suspect you know what those are for you. Those attachments that we have that we think we need in order to be happy. And I'm not just talking about possessions, but addictions, compulsive behaviors, unhealthy things that we pursue in our lives, but which ultimately leave us feeling wanting something more in life. Laying down those things makes it a whole lot easier to take up our crosses. Professor Barbara Brown Taylor said, "To follow Jesus means going beyond the limits of our own comfort and safety. It means receiving our lives as gifts instead of guarding them as our own possessions. It means sharing the life we've been given instead of bottling it up for our own consumption. Taking up our crosses is living a life that matters, a life for the sake of Christ." I think your new Sunday school class got it right. Jesus, others, and you. Where the I and the self isn't center stage, and that's tough in our culture of self-absorption. It's about refusing to put our own comfort and safety ahead of living a life like that, a life that pours itself out, as a matter of course, a life that spends itself without counting the cost, knowing that there's always more life where our own life comes from, and that even when our own lives run out, God will have more life in store for us, because our God is a God who never runs out of life. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Those will never be easy words to hear, but they are not, in the final analysis, an invitation to follow Jesus to death, but an invitation to follow him into life, both now and later on. Let us pray. Oh God, we want to do a better job of taking up the true cross, but sometimes we fail. We choose poorly. We want to be faithful and effective disciples, so as you have done countless times in the past, give us one more chance so that we can choose wisely. Amen.
Please stand.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
And now as we go forth, may the love of Christ draw us to himself. May the power of Christ strengthen us in his service, and may the joy of Christ fill our souls. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care, enfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we